And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Walks podcast. This is episode 92. More women of DC Comics. I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Mary Fox.
Nice. I like you.
That's right. Damn. Put my girl on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
hey, Murray, this is your idea. So explain why we are taking time out.
Yeah.
More women in DC Comics.
Okay. So DC is publishing this essential graphic novels list, where they kind of list out what they feel are the essential graphic novels that readers should have read in order to have an understanding of the DCU or have an understanding of their characters and, mm-hmm. and the chronology and the order that you can read them. And so they've got things like their 25 essential graphic novels, and they give that like 25 pages. And they've got
DC Comics,
the new 52, and that's got like another 10 pages.
I think it's also supposed to be for retailers to always keep these in stock too. But
yeah, for sure, for retailers, so they know what mm-hmm. you know what books should they have on their shelves and that sort of thing. And when I say 10 pages or whatever or 30 pages, I don't think it's 30 pages of lists. It lists some graphic novels, and it probably includes like some beautiful graphics and some blurbs about what mm-hmm. what each trade is about, right? So it's not just a list of book one is this, book two is this, book three is this. You know, like it lets retailers and lets interested readers know that mm-hmm. this is a book and here's kind of what happens and here's what you have it and whatever. So, you know, Batman, he gets 5 pages of essential graphic novels, and Superman gets 5 pages, and Green Lantern and The Flash each get like 2 or 3 pages. Green Arrow gets a couple of pages. The Justice League get a couple of pages. Mm-hmm. And then they give 2 pages to all of the women of DC Comics. And I just think, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are not just graphic novels and trade paperbacks from the new 52. These are like in the history, the 75-year history of DC National, whatever. I mean,
whether some of these stories are in continuity or not, they're stories that comic readers have an awareness of. Like, Dark Knight Returns is not in continuity, mm-mm. but you should have an awareness of what's happened in that story and what's that Frank Quitely and Grant Morrison Superman book that I haven't read, but you should probably have an awareness. All-Star Superman, like, you should have an awareness of that. Crisis on Infinite Earths, totally not applicable anymore, but it's a backbone of the DCU. You should know what happened in that book, and if you get a chance to read it, you should read it, because it's a good story.
And by the way, just ironically, that was not one of their 25 essentials, just so you know.
What?
What was it?
Crisis on the Infinite Earths.
Really?
Infinite Crisis on the Earth. Not Infinite Crisis. Yes, Infinite Crisis and Identity Crisis were both.
But not Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Correct.
That is a travesty of justice right there.
Wow, because Infinite Crisis builds and is so tied to...
Yeah, it is.
Crisis. Like, wow, interesting.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted over that, actually.
I think it's important to note that other than Alan Moore, all of the other essential 25 are people who are currently working for DC.
Ah, how is that interesting, huh?
Yes, they're all written by people who are currently DC. As a matter of fact, I think 3 or 4 of them are Geoff Johns. There's a bunch of Grant Morrisons, Jeff Lemire. There's some Fables. I mean, it's all people who currently have gigs with them. Again, other than the Alan Moore stuff. Which constituted, by the way, Alan Moore had 20% of the list of the top 25 essential graphic novels.
Yeah, and that's funny since he hates their guts.
Yes. So, again, ironic that you should mention Crisis as being essential when it's not even considered essential by DC themselves.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. That is just crazy.
So, then, well, either way. That's a crazy oversight. However.
Yes, big time.
However, so we thought we would look at what are some of the important women characters of DC and what are the trades that are out there and which trades should be included in a, you know, like rather than glumping all of the women together and giving them two little pages, mm-hmm. you can probably stretch that out and build it up. So I
and bear in mind, it wasn't even two pages worth of stuff. There was, like you noted, there was a big graphic and mm-hmm. then a list of about maybe a page worth of material for these women.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So let's start with... Sorry, go ahead. Start with Wonder Woman. I mean, mm-hmm. she's one of the Trinity. They seriously couldn't come up with enough trades to fill, like, even two pages of Wonder Woman. I get it. She's not going to have five pages like Superman and Batman. But mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. come on. You can come up with two pages for Wonder Woman. Like,
yeah, I would think.
Seriously,
come on now.
I didn't even have to do research. Off the top of my head, I've got, like, who is Wonder Woman that Alan Heinberg wrote that kicked off her volume 4, volume 3, whatever the volume was. Like, that's a cool classic Wonder Woman story. It updates Wonder Woman mm-hmm. for the Infinite Crisis era. It gives back Diana Prince to the DCU. It gives her little twirl. Like, there were so many things that they reintroduced and they updated characters, and it's a beautifully drawn story, and it's well written. I mean, it took 800 years to come out, but as a collected edition, who cares? It's a good, strong Wonder Woman story.
Mm-hmm.
You include that one. You get all of the Perez Wonder Womans. Like, there's like 4 or 5 volumes of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
That, I mean, whether it's in continuity or not anymore, that those stories were so influential when they came out, and they were they set the tone for what Wonder Woman would be after the Crisis. And
there was that whole, you know, the ones that always jump out at me are the Meisner-Loeb's issues that redefined. I mean, they actually made the books sell out for months on end. It wasn't just Meisner-Loeb, but it was also Mike Diodato Jr. doing the art on those. Love or hate it. Those were sell-out issues.
Yeah.
Wonder
Woman. Those things went fourth print on those things.
Totally. They're on my list, and they're traded. Like, you've got Wonder Woman, The Contest, which is the stories that led up to Wonder Woman losing the title of Wonder Woman and giving it to the red-haired Artemis, and Wonder Woman gets a leather jacket, and she gets a haircut, and she gets all down with her inner city, inner hood lady here, and it, like, it's traded, it's there, and it's an important chapter in Wonder Woman's history. Like, she loses the contest, and someone else takes on the role of Wonder Woman, and it should be on the list.
I agree totally.
And then there's the book, there's the trade that gives her back her Diana,
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's probably the one, yeah, right afterwards that you know, she gets Artemis proves that she's not particularly well suited to the role, and Wonder Woman comes back, and that's DC history. That should be on the list.
Yeah, I agree.
Going way, way back, you've got, like, the Diana Wonder Woman stories, like, there's 4 volumes of that, and whether you like them or whether you don't like them, that's, like, a big slice of DC history. It's a big slice of Wonder Woman history. She's, like, depowered. She's wearing the white jumpsuit. She's going all jujitsu and karate. And that's, like...
Yeah.
That was a good 2 or 3 years of her... Well, maybe not that long. How many issues do they include in that grade? There's 4 trades.
You see, it is... Drum roll, please. It looks like it's... It looks like there's 7 issues, including an issue of Brave and Bold in that in this one trade paperback.
If you're looking at 6 or 7 issues over 4 trades, that's like a couple of years right there. Those should be on the list. You've got also going way back.
Don't discount the Golden Age stuff too.
I don't know how many trades that they have of that. Like, they've got the archives, and I don't know if they include the archives on their list. Like, I would, because I think they're fun to read, but I don't know if they're considering archives as trade paperbacks, essential reading, things that should be... I mean, I do. I would include them, but I'm not the DC. But there's four or five of the archives. They're excellent.
Yeah.
And then there was great, and I know it's trade, I don't know what it's called, though, is the Phil Jimenez arc. I wish I could remember the name of it. It bugged me. What is it called? Not Circle, that's different. In any case, even if they don't include the trade paperbacks, the archives, I think there were some showcases listed in there at certain points.
Yeah.
So I know her stuff has been showcased, black and whited. It's not like it's super expensive to get that stuff. Did we lose Murray?
Murray?
Yeah. Nope, I'm here.
Okay.
I've got a little coughing attack.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Throw the mute on there.
I had to do the same.
And of course, the new stuff. I mean, the new stuff is some of their most critically acclaimed of the new 52.
I would say, to be fair, they probably got those trades listed under their new 52 section, maybe.
But that's not. I mean, that kind of misses the point, though. I mean, Wonder Woman. She is the golden age female superhero, and she does not. She does not rate two pages. And I get why Green Arrow would, because of Arrow, the TV show, being actually a popular show.
Yeah.
The Flash. The Flash is not a popular character anymore. He was, but he's lost his cachet. But there's a ton of the trade paperbacks because of the Wade and the John stuff. But
right.
Please, if he can rate, then Wonder Woman's easily got his name for collected editions out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's fair to say that I don't think I could come up with a trade that they don't have, just because I don't know enough Wonder Woman stuff beyond the ultra popular stuff that's come out over the years. But there are enough trades that they could fill a page.
Oh my gosh! They've got the whole Gail Simone run traded. They've got that's four or five trades, and they're good reads. I don't know that they're essential, but they're good. And you've got the Greg Rucka run in trades. It's also really good. And some of that might be included in their wherever they do their Infinite Crisis trades or whatever, because it ties in there. You've got Wonder Woman strangling or breaking Max Lord's neck. Like, that's a pivotal point in the DCU, and that's going to be collected in one of their editions, but the stories leading up to it and afterwards, they're all really, really good. You've got the trade that kicks off Greg Rucka's run, the I think that's what it is, some sort of Greek Hikataea thing. Anyway, it's a great, like, standalone graphic novel, Wonder Woman, Batman, super read.
And apparently she's one of the, she, at least at one point, she was part of the Trinity, so you'd think that they... If nothing else, just, you know, give her the page just to, you know, continue that acknowledgement that they think she's one of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Well, here it is. Hikataea. Yeah, all right. Wow, that's quite a name there.
Yes, and it's a good read, and it's beautiful.
Is it? Okay.
I think it's J.G. Jones on art. It's good. Hmm. It's good. You've got the one by Paul Dini. He did... What's it called? The Spirit of Truth. Mm. He did one for all of the big, like, he did Superman, he did Batman, he did Shazam, he did Wonder Woman. I think he did a Justice League book. that's an essential read, if only because it's Paul Dini and he's got such a unique take on all of the characters.
Did Alex Ross, did he do a Wonder Woman oversized?
Yeah. That's the one with Paul Dini did the writing and Alex Ross did the artwork, I think.
Okay, that was the one. Okay.
Yeah.
I was picturing Alex Ross doing a Wonder Woman drawing, and we were talking about the same thing. Apologies. So.
Perfect. The only other Wonder Woman one I'd include is probably the trade that collects her 12 labors, where she, I think it takes place just after she gives up the white jumpsuit and she gets her powers back and she wants to get back on the Justice League. So they give her, like, it's over 10 or 11 issues of her own series, and they're testing her to see if she's still got what it takes. And the stories probably aren't great, but you know, it's like, it's one of those classic runs where you've got like all the DCU coming into her series and they're visiting and they're testing, and it's I would include that on my essential list.
Yeah.
I would not disagree. And there's enough like little one shots that they could throw into a collection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this list on Comic Book DB. And it's just amazing. I mean, it's not like DC even would have to do the research. They could just go to Comic Book DB and go, oh, yeah, we got that, we got that, we got that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, it's sad. It really is.
And, you know, and the thing is, I mean, it's not like she's an unknown character. She was part of the Justice League cartoon, which a very popular cartoon. She was, you know, also in the Young Justice cartoon occasionally. Again, a very popular cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Super Friends, the Linda Carter show. I mean, she has recognition, despite the fact that they can't seem to get a movie off the ground for the character. It's not for a lack of people wanting it to happen. It's just finding the right vehicle.
Totally.
So as an oversight or as a miss. By DC, it's glaring. I mean, the rest of the characters that we're probably going to mention here, you know, give or take maybe one or two, I could see why DC would relegate them to a, hey, we're going to, you know, you're part of a collective, but
yeah,
she definitely is not, does not fit that category by any stretch.
No. Now, the other character that I would probably include in, not include, the other character that I would separate as a, and give her two pages, because you could probably stretch it and pad it and make it two pages, is Supergirl, or Supergirls, if you want to stretch it a little bit. Like, there are enough important DC Supergirl stories that have been traded that you could probably, with some creative placement of graphics and stuff, get two pages out of it. So you can do, like, you've got the two Peter David trades. You've got the trade that introduces his version of Supergirl.
Mm-hmm. Which were arguably, a lot of people didn't like those, but they got those on there still.
Whether they liked them or not, it was the definitive take on the character for 60, 70 issues or so. So
yeah, true.
And you know, had strong artists on the book and great writing. So include the beginning of his run, include the end of his run, which is the what do they call it? Many Happy Returns, I think, which is like the final six or seven issues where he brings back Kara Zor-El and she meets up with the Earth Angel version of Supergirl. Like, you got the beginning of his run, you got the end of his run. Those are pretty essential, I think, to DC history. You've got the whole, who was it? Jeff Loeb and Michael Turner, I think.
Yeah.
When they there's the Superman Batman 6-issue arc that introduces Supergirl. Throw that on the page. You've got the first trade that collects the first six or seven issues of her series. Throw that in there. I mean, because that's the first like, after not having a traditional Supergirl in the DCU since Crisis, now they've got one back. It's been 25 years or whatever. That's pretty big news. Put her on the list.
Yeah.
And they've got outside of continuity, they've got Supergirl in the, the eighth grade, I think is what it was called?
Yeah, yeah.
Totally, yeah, the Cosmic Adventures in the eighth grade. Include that, because it's just, it's a fun read, and it shows that the character is translatable to other genres. Like, she doesn't need to be strictly whatever. Like, I mean, she's adaptable, she's flexible.
Yeah, the Loeb one was even adapted into a cartoon. That whole reintroducing her—it's like she was popular enough to support a cartoon.
Yeah.
A two-hour movie or hour and a half or whatever it was. But look at all these trade paperbacks. I mean, don't even have to try hard. You could fill a page pretty good.
Yeah. You
all
can do.
Stuff? Oh my god.
Exactly. Sterling Gates, Jamal Igel, something from their run should be on there, because that was an excellent run.
Mm-hmm.
And if you expand the idea of Supergirl into girls that are super, you could put on the Power Girl, a couple of the Power Girl trades. So the one that makes sense of her origin with Amanda Connor on art, which is amazing. You could do first two trades in her own series, which are also amazing.
I actually had Power Girl and Huntress as their own page, as something I thought that, you know, given that they have their own freaking title, they can support a page, or at least have a page.
Yeah. I wasn't sure where to put Stars and Stripes, but I kind of threw it under the Supergirls section, but there's two trades right there, and she's prominent in Justice League of America right now, so let people see her, where, like, the history of the character, where she came from, why she's such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. There you go.
Oh, yeah, and I'm surprised you would say Supergirl would be the only other one, because Batgirl, my God, Batgirl, between all the various Batgirls there have been, Barbara Gordon.
I wasn't sure how many Batgirl trades there. I mean, there's a huge run on Birds of Prey. So if you wanted to do a section on Gotham women or the women of Gotham or whatever, if there were Batgirl trades, I guess that's where they could go.
There's quite a few. Plus, that, you know, I'm looking in on Amazon, and there's there's probably 20. Trade paperbacks featuring the Batgirl character, or, you know, if you want to expand it out a little bit, you know, you could even say Batgirl, Batwoman, or the, you know, Women of the Bat, I suppose you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Because you can do Huntress. She's got the new 52 miniseries. She's got the Batman's Dark Daughter, which collects all the backups from Wonder Woman when she was in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great read. You've got the Batwoman, who's got a couple of trades. She's got the Elegy trade that collects her before New 52 stuff, which is an amazing read.
Did they collect her when Helena Bertinelli became Huntress, when they reintroduced her as an Earth Prime character? They've got some of that stuff right here.
Yeah,
I think there were trades there too, and you know what, that's kind of a neat, like, it's a good historical perspective on the character, whether she's been, I mean, she's been totally erased now, but so what? I mean, for 20 years, 25 years, that was the Huntress, and that's the Huntress that lots of people know, Bertinelli version. And yeah, she was in trades all over the place, I think.
And turns out not as many as I thought, but beside the point, just like what they did with, you know, when Wonder Woman became leather jackety, issues were selling out. When this Huntress, when the Bertinelli version came around, again, copies were freaking selling out.
Mm-hmm.
Unheard of. Huntress selling out? Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
it again, a missed opportunity. And I understand that, you know, based on, if we're just going to look at what's actually available, sure, maybe they could not support their own page, but they could certainly, they certainly deserve more than a page combined.
Yeah.
I keep saying that over and over, but it bears emphasis.
Oh, I agree.
I found it a little bit surprising that they weren't able to give up a few more. Like, I was really surprised that they left Wonder Woman off the list and they kind of ghettoized her with all the other DC heroines. It's crazy that they couldn't have created a Wonder Woman page and then
you know what's shocking me that I'm looking at here, and I'm surprised that there's not more collections of Lois Lane stuff. There's actually only one archive of her series. Wow.
Huh. I'm surprised they did that, really.
There is, but there's like so a, many. How many issues of there were there of Lois Lane Superman?
No idea.
In the hundreds, I think. And yeah, they've kind of collected some of those stories in the Superman Family Showcase, but they're lumped in with the Jimmy Olsen ones in there.
Really. Okay, well, that's...
Yeah.
I think the first volume is of Superman Family is pretty much all Jim Olsen's stories, and then Lois's first, maybe not first appearance, but first, her first solo strip or her first solo story.
Mm-hmm.
And then volume two on, they alternate between Jimmy, Lois. Jimmy and Lois and back and forth, I think.
There were 137 issues of that series, of Superman's Girlfriend.
Wow.
And it, granted, every single issue had Superman in it, but I'm a little disappointed in Warner DC for not collecting more of these, even if it's just archive editions, but...
Yeah, or those Chronicle ones that are a lot cheaper.
Oh, yeah, those are nice, too.
Mm-hmm. I really like those.
There's only one archive. Goodness.
All of her?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's 264 pages. That's only about 20 issues of the 130, maybe 25 issues of the 130-plus issues.
You know who they should include, and I can't remember if they did, but Chase, the,
Oh, yeah.
She's got a couple of trades, and she should be included. J.H. Williams on art, the stories were highly thought of, and she's a character that continues to show up in the current DCU.
Give me a second here. I need to pull up my copy. I have it on my reader. I'm now. I should have come prepared with that for that particular topic. There are other characters that popped out, and again, I understand she couldn't support a whole page. But Zatanna, I was surprised that they could have bulked some of these characters, spread it out over three or four pages. And really taking advantage of the fact that they had a captive audience here, and push stuff that people wouldn't normally read.
Yep.
Essentially.
Yeah. Catwoman. They include some Catwoman stuff.
What was that?
Catwoman. I forgot about her. She's kind of included a little.
Who?
Catwoman. Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
I would say,
Poison Ivy would be somebody I would...
I don't know about that.
Had enough. Enough
between, Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn, when they were big in the cartoons, they did lots of little specials, and I don't know how much of the Batman Adventures has been collected, but there's probably a storyline or two there that would fit. Catwoman alone, she's probably got... There's the beginning of the Ed Brubaker series with Darwin Cook on art.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to have been traded. That would be... That's a cool read you've got.
Yeah.
Well, they've included the Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale Catwoman story, so there you go.
Right.
But she's probably got... I don't know, maybe some cheesy trades out there.
Boy, they got 3 pages of Green Lantern stuff here.
Yeah, well, that's been the cash cow for a while.
Wow, they've only got 1 page of Justice League stuff. I mean, that's almost as much of a miss as the women's stuff.
Yeah,
you throw all the Justice Society collections in there. Oh my god. All right, so you were wondering. Okay, so they got one Catwoman book listed here, which is the current one, the Judd Winnick stuff. It's actually, is it all new 50? It's all new 52 stuff for the women of DC. Not a single, I think. Oh no, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. They've got the JMS stuff here, and then the first for Wonder Woman, and then the first trade paperback of the current series.
Yeah.
And they have Catwoman Win in Rome, like you said. But again, the Batwoman stuff is all the current stuff, Gail Simone, Batgirl stuff, mm-hmm. Huntress, the miniseries. They have no Birds of Prey listed. They have no...
Yeah, that's kind of criminal, because that series...
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Was groundbreaking for DC. Like, it took... I mean, it gave Barbara Gordon... I mean, she had... It's not like she hadn't been Oracle before that, but it took Oracle to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah, and yeah.
So many of the Birds of Prey... Birds of Prey has had a TV show, for goodness sake. They think he's Flash because he's had a TV show. Birds of Prey has a TV show, and it's got, like, 800 million trades, and a lot of them are really good.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some of those are really good.
There was the Gail Simone run on Birds of Prey, but who there was someone else. Who was...
Chuck Dixon. Yeah. Chuck Dixon, and there's trades that collect the first 3 or 4 specials, and then there's another trade that collects the next 2 specials and the first 6 issues of the run. Like, those should be on any essential DC list, because the Birds of Prey became so important. Like, totally put Black Canary back on the map. After Grell sidelined her and cut her hair and took away her powers and shoved her off into limbo land. Like, she was floundering. And then Chuck Dixon and Gail Simone took and turned her into a character who eventually led the Justice League.
Oh, look at that. Tony Bedard did it. There's a collection of Tony Bedard stuff with the character as well. With Nicholas Scott on art.
Oh, I think I have that one.
Called Club Kids. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's 15 trade paperbacks of current and pre New 52, or, you know, pre and current New 52 Birds of Prey stuff. And if nothing else, spotlight it, because it's got, you know, the highest profile woman writer in comics on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
For no other reason.
Big thing.
And you could, I suppose, you know, if to redo it, make it 3 or 4 pages, do a Birds of Prey as the heading, put Batgirl in there, put Huntress in there, put Catwoman in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're eventually they're going to collect the Katana stuff.
I hope not. What's that? What is the point? I think, is that just like a placeholder series until they can come up with something better? I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
I wouldn't know beyond it, beyond halfway through issue number two, so I'm sorry.
Oh, you got farther than I did in it.
Okay. I tried to give him a benefit of the doubt on that. God, I mean, the more we talk about this, the more irritated I'm getting about this particular.
Yeah, I am too, because I didn't really, I didn't give it as much thought as you guys did, but the more I think about it and we talk about it, it's very aggravating.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, it's not, it wasn't super hard to come up with lists of titles that DC has already got that, that, you know, that could be, I don't know, I mean, when you think back to when the New 52 was just coming out and they were getting accusations thrown at them that they didn't have enough women creators, they didn't have enough women characters headlining their books and stuff, like, this doesn't go a long way to help their cause.
No.
Not that you need to have a cause, but for free, like, it's, they've got the characters, they've got the books, they've published them. It's not like they have to go out of their way to create books to highlight their characters. They've already done that. It's just letting people know. Now, I mean, the other side of that is maybe the books that they've listed as essential are the books that are actually selling for them and that are making them the money, so that's where they're going to focus their energies. But and that probably says more about the readership than it does about DC's policies, but it probably goes hand in hand a little bit.
Yeah.
They can steer opinion, though. I mean, Bendis, for all his, you know, for all his irritating writing habits, he steered opinion on Luke Cage. He steered opinion on Spider-Woman. He said, you know what? He went with the mantra, there is no such thing as a bad character.
Yeah.
And
this is true.
And Luke Cage, while, you know, he's not a top, he's still probably a B-level hero, he is much more recognizable, and they could, DC can steer opinion. I mean, they say, okay, Green Arrow is important by making a page. Now, just to a side note, there actually only are 5 trade paperbacks listed on the Green Arrow page, so they could easily fill a page for almost any of these characters, female characters that we've listed, without thinking too hard. It would be easy to fill as, I mean, you could do a Zatanna page, for goodness sake. There are, in fact, 5 different collections of Zatanna things.
Really?
There are, you know, Birds of Prey alone, I think there's like 15 or, you know, 15 plus trade paperbacks.
Yeah, there's a lot of those, that's for sure.
Batgirl, between the various, you know, versions, the Cassandra Cain, the Stephanie Brown, the what's her name? Barbara Gordon. You know, hell, throw Batwoman in with that, and you get, you know, boom. You got a huge collection.
Well, that elevates.
I forgot all about the Cassandra Cain Batgirl. Yeah, she had trades, and she's super popular with a segment of.
I love that character.
Of the readers.
That was incredible.
I never got into the Cassandra Cain character. I understand her popularity, but maybe it's just. If I'm going to have a Batgirl, I want it Barbara Gordon, but that's just me. If there had to be a Batgirl, because, you know, I was a
the way they did it, she was like the logical choice to take over. It was all during that No Man's Land thing.
And the Women of DC Comics one, Murray, the graphic they use is not, in fact, Wonder Woman. It's Batgirl fighting Batwoman. It's girl in full action.
Yeah.
Crazy.
This was written by a man.
Oh, well, yeah.
Maybe even written by Jeff John.
Easy now.
Hey, I was Didio. I know.
Didio. It's obvious.
Gosh, I mean, and there's other misses. I'm I hate to steer away from it or tangent to it, but I can't believe there's only 10 Justice League related
books
listed here. And in fact, they consider DC The New Frontier Volume 1 is essential, but they do not list Volume 2.
Huh, that's interesting.
That's crazy. And somehow, you can't read one without the other.
I know, you really kind of can't. And somehow, The Tornado's Path, the Justice League run, when Meltzer was doing it, that rates.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right.
What, you didn't like that one? The Lightning Saga?
If you can only pick 10, that's going to be one of the 10?
Yeah, good point.
Yikes. There's all sorts of collections. All the Crisis trade paperbacks, the ones where they have the Justice League, Justice Society crossovers.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those should be on that list. I agree.
There were enough Supergirl ones that they could fill a page. There were enough Wonder Woman ones they could fill a couple pages. The Tana could do a page. Black Canary could do two pages. Could do a page or more if you expand it out to a Birds of Prey collection.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Hawk Girl does not have any.
Yeah, well.
And neither does Lana Lang.
Oh, well, she's not up there with Lois, so.
She was huge with Superboy, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, can't have a Superboy origin without Lana Lang.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, you know when Marvel puts out theirs, they're gonna see all the the noise that people made about this, and they're gonna have like 15 pages of women's comics in there. Because you know Marvel's gonna follow. Marvel's gonna do one of these, if not a print one, at least an online one.
Well, actually, they do that. They've been doing that for a while. They'll give out little books. It's like a Marvel chronology, and they'll tell when all that stuff, the order to read it in and all that other stuff. So they've already, they stole it from Marvel. So, I mean.
Well, they call it plus the word essential.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's all what goes around comes around. Environment
here. DC's not making friends lately, are they?
No, they're really. I'm even having trouble being fans of them with some of the stuff that they're pulling. It's just the stuff they're coming up with, and I don't know.
Yeah, their politics have not been particularly good lately. And again, they kind of. With them pussying out with doing the comic book resources thing. It's like, I understand you have one answer question, but come on.
I asked too many tough questions, man. Answers. I know. It's sad.
Oh, they'll figure it out and they'll come back around.
We should have seen if Val wanted. We should have invited Val. I can't remember her last name to join us this
week. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. She would have been good for this.
Too little too late.
Yeah, I know.
There's a couple other female comic fans between our Facebook and the Legion Facebook. That was a mess. Sorry, ladies. All two of our female listeners out there. So Murray, what does this mean for you? I mean, you have a lot of passion behind this. Is this you have a crusade now, or you just need an event?
I just thought it was kind of goony that they couldn't at the very least have put Wonder, like, given her the respect that a character like her deserves. Like, she's,
yeah,
she's one of their top characters, and even though she's not one of their top sellers, I guess, in the books, she probably makes them a ton of money in underhoos and beach towels, lunch boxes. Do people still have lunch boxes? I don't know. Either way,
yeah.
I mean, so she makes them their money. So show a little respect to the old lady, because she's wonderful.
Hey, can't go to a con without seeing at least 15 Wonder Women walking around.
That's true. God bless them all.
Yes, yes, every one of them.
Wow, that's
a, and some of them need more blessings than others.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, they're all fans. As noted in that great cartoon, comic strip that was posted, they're all fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's very true.
That is true.
It was a great little cartoon. It showed this heavyset girl enjoying comic books and deciding to dress up as Wonder Woman and go to a con. And when she showed up there, all these people were making fun of her. And she looked over at this really hot chick dressed as Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
And she into the comments, and people were calling her a slut and a whore. It's like, there's no win. You can't win for losing. I mean, it's uh-huh.
Yeah.
I know it. It's crazy.
And it's the guy's fault. We admit it. We accept all responsibility, all blame.
Yeah, sure, why not? I get blamed for all kinds of crap, so why not that too?
Hey, why not? So, what else can we take? What else can we take on tonight?
Well, keeping with the theme of the ladies, Monkey Brain has just released the first issue of the next miniseries for Amelia Cole, and it's only 99 cents. Her first series, each
is
issue
on sale,
is $1.99. It is on sale, so if you haven't picked up Amelia Cole and the Unknown World, I think that's the first series, grab it now because they're 99 cents, and it's a bargain. And then the next miniseries launched today, and it's, I think they're going to the 99 cent route for this miniseries. So you might get a couple of less pages, but it's a cheaper route. And the stories are good. They're good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that book. That was really good.
I did too. So I haven't seen it on my just waiting to be read.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be noted that Bandette was nominated for Eisner, as a best series.
As a best continuing series, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, sir.
It's really good. I don't know that I'd call it continuing. I guess it continues.
And that's the nice thing about a company like Monkey Brain.
There you go.
It's the nice thing about a company like Monkey Brain or Image or any of those other, you know, the ones who are not tied to licensing or have so much invested in marketing, they can publish stuff that may not necessarily appeal to a huge crowd, especially, I mean, that was one of the things that Roberson was focusing on, was their overhead for their publishing is nothing. You know, it's bandwidth. Yeah. That's it. And it's up to each of the individual creators whether, you know, they're going to be paying their artist or their writer or whatever. And they can, you know, it's so they can do something like an Amelia Cole, which at a DC or Marvel would not sell for crap. They don't need it to sell for crap. They just need it to sell enough to get some exposure.
Yes. Yes, yes. And it is great that Bandette is getting recognition because it is a good series. I love it. I would love it more if it came out regularly, but I love it when it comes out.
You tell man.
That's one thing I meant to ask Roberson about was, you know, maybe publicizing when their next issues of certain books are coming out, the ones that are not coming out on a monthly basis. So, but oh well, a missed opportunity.
So late. And it could be that they may not know. Like, they may, I don't know, like, I guess, I mean, plans change, right? And all those creators are working. If the monkey brain issues aren't making the money for them, then they have to make their money where they can and work on the monkey brain stuff when time allows, which means we get some great series started and then I have to wait for them.
Well, and they should maybe they should start following. Well, a lot of those series are now going to be collected as well. So, and I'm sure I think Amelia Cole was on the list of books that are going to be.
I think Amelia Cole is being collected, but the other one that they said is being collected has only Olive Hopkins, I think, and it's only got two issues. So, I'm not sure what they're going to be collecting for that one.
Interesting,
but it's cool that they are collecting. Like, I think the Masks and Mobsters collection will be cool. I think the Edison Rex collection will be awesome when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting that. I got that pre-ordered on Amazon.
Excellent.
And Edison Rex has some strong female characters in it.
Why, yes, they do.
To bring it back to that.
Yes.
His bodyguard is a woman, sort of like the one on Game of Thrones.
They're all, actually, aren't they? His big slug is a woman, and his bodyguard's a woman, and
mm-hmm. The brain is a woman.
You're right.
They're all right. Women, except for Edison,
mm-hmm.
As far as we know.
But his big villain from the other universe.
Yeah, you know. That's correct.
Yes.
Oh. We see where Roberson's mindset is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So bottom line, DC had a huge missed opportunity, and a political gaffe, I would venture to say.
Oh yeah. I would. I know they're getting guff for it.
Well, they should.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's the last thing on the list in the DC side. And then it switches to Vertigo. It's like, oh yeah, we got to turn a page.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Vertigo jumps in, and we get our 100 Bullets and our Sandman and our American Vampires and Preachers and. All well deserved, by the way, but
mm-hmm.
I'm sure we could find some Vertigo titles that were missed that were female centric.
Yeah.
So I don't know enough. I don't know them.
Yeah, that I'm not a bit. I'm not usually on the Vertigo stuff. So.
No, Fables is very. is a very.
Yeah, it does. I need to. I've got like. Two or three trades of that I still haven't read.
Hey, speaking of Roberson, they have both of his Cinderellas listed in here.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yes.
Not something, I guess.
It is very cool. Yes. For him. I get nothing else to add. I mean, I think we didn't even have to try that hard, and we were able to come up with 50 or 60 various trade paperbacks that they could have listed.
Mm-hmm. That they should have listed. Buggers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree. They really dropped the ball on that.
I would say should have as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Why the last man? Next year? Last man book gets 4 pages.
That was really popular.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
Four
pages to list.
No, I'm sorry, three pages, but still, it's
no. But either way, I mean, it's volumes 1 through 10 or whatever. It's not like there's other. It's not like you're going to see the York special or York and Superman fighting Mongo. Like it's volume 1 through whatever, mm-hmm. and that's it. Like you could do that in a paragraph in a, like, I'm not sure that you need to list each of the volumes, because once you've read the first volume, you're either going to want to continue reading, in which case you'll find volume 2, 3, 4, 5, because they're all labeled, or you're not going to want to, and
yeah,
in which case labeling them all is not particularly needed.
Yeah.
Well, but you could say the same about Sandman, though, or you could say the same about Fables, or Preacher.
Fables, yeah. Sandman, I think there's enough other, like, yes, for the main series, you probably got volumes 1 through to whatever, but there I think that there are enough little side specials and stuff that or maybe they're all, like, you know, it's been so long since I've looked at any Sandman trade, I don't even know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe they could.
No, but you're right. I mean, maybe a better example then would be the you know, Fables. You know, they're not there are a couple side ones, but looking at this list here, it really is volumes 1 through 17 plus a couple of original graphic novels, one Jack of Fables trade paperback, one Ferris collections, and the Cinderellas. But for the most part, it's just 1 through 17. It's just, they don't even give descriptions. It's,
well, there you go.
1 through 17. And it tells, all it gives is this collects issues 1 through 5. This is, you know, 6 through 10. It doesn't even say, hey, in this one, Cinderella dies. Or,
What?
This was kind of lazy. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, man, let it all out.
All right.
We can
probably wrap up.
Yep. I'm done. I'm not going to pick on DC, because I as a whole, I do enjoy DC books. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan now of their politics.
No.
All right. You're right. I'm done. I shouldn't bash. I'm DC's very...
Yeah, it's our podcast.
Better publishers out there, all things considered.
We do whatever we want.
Well, you fucked up, DC.
There you go. None of them are listening.
They should. All right.
All right. That's it. That's all I got.
I got nothing else, I promise.
Yeah, I got nothing else either. Yeah, I got nothing.
That's it, then.
Okay.
All right. Wrap it up, Chris.
All right. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthewombox.com. Let us know what you think. Or you can do a little searchy on Facebook and find our page on there. We use usually lively conversation for the 100 or so people that we have on there. And what else? Of course, yeah, you can comment on the actual episodes. And it's spammer-free. I got this great little plug-in that just takes care of all that crap, and it's just awesome. Doesn't even let them register. I mean, I'm telling you, it's good stuff. And but that's about it. Right. So until next week, we will see you then.
Good night.
Good night.
All right.
And we